The thoughts, views, and opinions expressed on group chat are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of Buffalo Toronto Public Media, its leadership, or its affiliates. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to group chat. I'm Bentley and I'm here with Naila Ansari Cotillo. We are both hosts.
We're back.
Charles is not the host. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm not.
Charles is here.
Charles is now the biggest celebrity on the show.
He is. Everyone's like, the voice. This is Charles.
So basically, group chat is Charles' world, and we're just in it. So
that's not true.
But since we are focusing today on all aspects of women in culture, pop culture, sports. Charles, you're about to get a run for your money.
Charles getting there. A run for his money today. I was like about to hold myself because the jokes I have today.
No, please. Please don't. Please don't. So as you know, so we have a great episode lined up for you. As you know, we start every episode with pop culture trends called State of the Scroll.
Charles? Oh my God, it's Charles. He's a lion.
There is a reason behind that. We'll get to that. God. We'll get to that later. But yes, State of the Scroll is our, it seems like that's the, it is the end all, not the end all be all, but it is like the most popular thing that we have going on.
Oh yeah, because it's awesome. Because it's all the craziness and ridiculousness that nobody actually wants to admit that they talk about
in our group chat.
In our group chat,
and we talk about that in our group chat.
So, but there is breaking news that came out literally just right before we got on. Britney Spears got arrested
for the knives.
No,
I called it when I heard it. I said it's the knives. It's gotta be.
You can't start that rumor. But like,
have y'all seen the choreography though?
I'm not gonna be able to hold it together today. So you've called this.
I've called it. I said they should never took her out of conservatorship. She should have stayed with the daddy, and that's why Kevin got them kids. What'd she get arrested for, Charles? It's not the knives.
She was arrested in California at around 9:30 on Wednesday for a DUI. She was booked around 3 in the morning and has been released and is scheduled for her court appearance on May 4th. May the 4th be with you, Brittany.
Yeah.
Don't say that because then she's going to end up in some Star Wars costumes.
So what's going to happen with the fans that said that Brittany, you know, she should have been freed and everything else and that she was better because she was free?
And you know they're just following her, waiting for her to, she hasn't been real secret about messing up, so.
No.
She's in public being intoxicated.
Was she in her underwear and a half top?
We need photos, Charles.
We need to get the deets.
So, like, I always felt bad because obviously she has some mental health issues. And at this point, though, I think everybody's just kind of sugarcoating it and making excuses. And I think, I don't really know what conservatorships really entail.
They should have put her back in when they saw her playing with the knives. And the sister said that she's, you know, in her book, she said that she's like very obsessed with knives.
Yeah, I just never understand how rich people get DUIs, because like you can have anybody come get you or your security guard drive, or
they think they're untouchable.
Yeah.
Yep.
And speaking of celebrities who think they're untouchable, Diddy's prison release his prison release date has been moved up 5 weeks earlier than originally planned. This is his third release date change. Back in November 2025, he was scheduled to release June 4th of 2028. Previously, the date was May 8th of 2028. He is currently serving a 50-year, in a federal prison, and he's being currently held at Fort Dix. a low-level facility in New Jersey. He was found guilty of two charges of transportation to engage in prostitution.
So I think we need to add another segment to State of the Scroll called Nyla Called It. Because right now we're two for two.
I said they're going to get him out early.
I mean, it's just going to keep, every time it's just going to be a few months shorter. And then he's just going to
be out. And then when you get comparison, when you have Epstein and you have, you know, R. Kelly out, you know, Diddy don't look that bad. So it's like,
It's the look over here thing again. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's the world we're in. And he's going to come back even more confident and say...
Oh, yeah, because the charges were not good. They didn't have a good case.
I don't think so. I think he might pull a Russell Simmons. I think he might leave the country.
And be in Bali. I can see that because he's so narcissistic.
Yeah, because I don't think he's going to be heavily monitored once he's released.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be on him. And I don't think that there's a world that he'll be able to do anything that he used to do.
All right, we're putting that on record, Charles. We're going to track this. But again, Nyla called it.
I did call it. I said, he going to roll up out of there. His hair going to be dyed, shaved, back to what it used to be. Are we calling him Sean Combs now? Or are we like, what are we doing?
I can't tell you what I'll call him. I can't. This is
he go by his legal government.
And it's Sean Combs? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
not calling him.
That's what's named in all of the pages and documents that you've read.
Diddy. We're not calling him Puffy. We're not calling him Puff Daddy. We're not calling him Brother Love. We're not calling him Love.
Yeah, because nicknames are that's something that's giving people a little grace. He needs Sean.
Yeah. You need to be an adult.
Yes.
And
so to pivot from jail time to, since his name was Love, Love definitely seems to be in the air because there was various rumors and reports that have came out that Zendaya and Tom Holland got married. Did you know that?
I didn't care to know, but La Roche apparently wanted to tell everybody.
Yes. Yes. Zendaya's longtime stylist was at the Actors Awards, which I didn't know was the Screen Actors Guild Awards, just renamed. And he revealed that they got married. And a lot of people are kind of in a frenzy about it. I enjoy the fact that no one knew about it until he said something. Because we don't even know how long they've been married, but... Photos are coming out now from the wedding. Pretty much it looks like all the Avengers was there, literally.
Oh, that's cool. That's why you care so much, Charles. Because I don't know why. Celebrity weddings now, they're so fleeting. I am a
fan of Tom Holland and Zendaya because they keep their relationship pretty private, closed. They don't let nobody in. They don't let the paparazzi in. He's a true gentleman to her, like, I've seen clips of when she's trying to adjust herself and he stands in front of her.
That's
so.
An Avengers fan right there. That's
that's top notch, Charles. Charles, we got your number now. We know.
I mean, yeah.
You know how to make him smile.
I am an Avenger fan, but I'm also a fan of them because they are one of the few that just don't, like, keep our private life private.
Yeah, they're class acts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
I'll agree with that.
So, but since y'all want to mention Marvel and all this other stuff, we talking about awards. Next weekend is the Oscars, and we will be doing the full Oscar show next week. But over the past weekend, we had the Actors Awards that I just mentioned about, and Michael B. Jordan. Not cleaned up, but he won.
As he should have.
And he also won at the NAACP Image Awards for Entertainer of the Year. Sinners won for Outstanding Cast in a Motion Picture at the Actors Awards. We're getting the feeling that they've been winning all these awards. Oscars is coming up. It's the big granddaddy of them all. But I have this sneaky feeling they're not going to win.
Yeah, I don't trust the Oscars ever. Because I don't even know that they even see the films. I mean, wasn't that like a big deal that they don't even have to like watch the movies?
And it's an Academy that votes.
Like votes. Yeah.
I mean, we're going to be digging into that. I hope that they win. I mean, they're not, I feel like because they are nominated for so many that they're going to get something. But, I understand what you're saying.
At least not Michael B. Jordan. I mean, he played two people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's no joke, especially how they filmed it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he would wear, like, a larger pair of shoes for one of the twins.
Yeah.
And then one would had a dimple. That's skill.
You think the Lion King's going to come back at all? Or do you think there's going to be, like, a remake? Why am I mentioning the Lion King, Charles?
It's a lion. Oh, my God.
So
Charles,
in our group chat, there was a reel that was sent from Bentley. And it reveals, everyone knows the intro to Lion King. Everybody, I can close my eyes is closed right now. And you can literally paint the picture in your mind of the setting of the intro to Lion King. The sun is rising. And as the sun rises, you hear the iconic song. But there seems to be...
Don't give it away, Charles.
I'm not giving it away. I'm throwing it to the video.
Okay.
I'm going to throw it to the video. I'm going to need Bailey to...
It's up there.
It's up. Bailey, just play it.
I can do it.
Do it.
So you sing it like, Nanzingonya Magiti Baba.
You were way off.
Ingonyama.
All right.
What does it mean?
It means, look, there's a lion. Oh my God.
you're joking. Yeah. That is not what that means.
That is not what that means.
That's exactly what it means.
That's what
it means. Look, there's a lion.
Oh my God.
It's a lion.
This whole time, I thought it was like this.
It's
like this beautiful, majestic.
Does everybody want to put their tears back from when they first started watching The Lion King and the musical? Could you imagine?
I just...
So anticlimactic.
You know, okay, so you know how there's always iconic things that just, once you find the real meaning of it, it just changes your whole thought process?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think now when I listen to this song, I'm not going... It's
done.
I'm going to hear Nayla singing it now. Charles is a lion. Oh, my God. At first, I thought they were just joking. And then, no, that's really what it means.
The people in the comments that were from South Africa were like, no, that's exactly pretty much what it means. Like, you can interpret it, like, add elevated interpretation if you want. But it's
that's what it means. And I watched the rest of that, actually, that podcast, and I was dead. Because, like, they kept
I mean,
because
they
it.
Brought up all this other yeah. stuff. I mean.
Zamunda is real and coming to America.
Zamunda is real.
That's real.
It's a real place.
Knew that.
They also brought up, which.
Disney, yeah, man.
It is kind of interesting that the lions, except for Scar, Scar had a British accent. Mufasa had an American accent, but Rafiki, being the monkey,
had the African accent.
Yeah. So it's this long-going thing that Disney tends to show their true...
I mean, to be fair, didn't Elton John and Tim Rice or whatever did the lyrics and the
music?
Oh,
yeah,
so.
Did the song.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's... They did. You know, there's that, too.
What did they say? The one that they got right was the bad guy having the British accent?
Scar.
Oh, yeah. Scar, yeah.
Yeah, Scar. Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. So, I mean, it's another one of those things where, you know.
You just grow up. Look, it's a child that was born.
It just ruined my childhood. My childhood would never be the same. Never.
Why would we? Why we gotta bring up the bad stuff, Charles? Like,
well, look, you can look at Britney. Britney, you know, Mickey Mouse Club, and then we got ninjas on the side. You know, that's we grow.
Oh, maybe that's the draw, the ninja aspect of the knives. Like, because those are ninja knives, right?
Yeah, there's
been multiple knives, so. I'm having a hard time.
Speaking of, I mean, it's just like childhood to adulthood, just growth.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is a perfect segue into what we're going to be talking about since it is Women's History Month. We have some strong women joining us, and we're going to talk aspects of sports, music, parenting, work-life balance. That's all coming up on Group Chat.
Trust doesn't happen by accident. It's built through careful reporting, verified facts, and respect for the audience. BTPM NPR's local journalists take the time to get it right, covering the issues shaping Western New York and Southern Ontario.
Immigration consultants like Tatiana Cabrera say they're seeing more interest in people coming to Canada, but warn there are still many hurdles to overcome.
It's not sort of a free-for-all type of an application, but I think it's still worth attempting for many people who see that they have either parent, grandparent, great-grandparent who may have been born in Canada.
UPD responded to a reported serious concern based on credible information and followed established police procedures. According to court filings from police, the students only had a photo to identify the person who made the threats.
News without spin, context without noise. This is Public Media.
Calling all storytellers in kindergarten through third grade. The Buffalo Toronto Public Media PBS Kids Writers Contest is back. Here are the details for parents, caregivers, and educators. Kid writers from Western New York and Southern Ontario can send us their stories until March 31st for a chance to win prizes and be featured in a celebration live streamed from our studios. Don't wait. Visit btpm.org/writerscontest to submit your entry today.
Welcome back to Group Chat. I'm Bentley, here with Naila Ansari Cotillo and Charles. Hey, Charles.
Hey, Charles.
Charles is taking some deep breaths after that State of the Scroll today. Wow. We are excited. It is Women's History Month, but as you know, Naila and I like to elevate women's voices whenever we can. So, but we're fortunate enough to have some personal connections to really some really amazing women in the area. So we're really excited to bring to you today Navi Hawkins, who is a community educator, artist, mentor, co-founder of Girl Gang, which I
Girl
can't
Gang.
Wait to talk about.
Gang.
You also run the club program for UB softball.
I
so
do.
Covering a lot of bases today. And no then
I'm gonna say, right. I don't want to say it.
I like a little pun.
Like, okay. Bases.
Okay.
Extra points for that.
It's kind of funny now. I'm throwing to the poet. right. Itina Fareed Cook, who you may also know as AI the Anomaly.
That's right.
Big fan of her music. That
Thank you.
We play on the bridge. So, also a creative arts strategist, founder of Get Focused Productions, and poet laureate of Buffalo. There are so many things we could say about both of you. We had to narrow it down because we like say a paragraph, but we'll be getting into all of this. So I know one of the things when we were talking about this episode, I mean, okay, yes, we all know Naila is
expecting.
So
well, we just found out. Yeah, but you know.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I see you walking in. I was
walked
like,
in,
what?
Wait,
we were
wait.
Like, last time I saw you, that wasn't happening, but I
yeah,
love
I was,
it. Congratulations.
Because I was throwing up.
Oh, my gosh. So you got six people in here.
Yeah. Yeah. True. But I always loved when Naila would talk about, because Naila is in the performing arts, amongst a million other things, that you balance everything. And then, you know, you have your kids at productions. Mm-hmm. And I think we're seeing that more now, too, in the theater world. And I know, Itina, you had
I don't think I've ever seen Itina without her kid. I mean, when we don't have kids, it's kind of like somebody else is
like,
watching.
Wait a minute,
them.
What's going on?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, what's yeah. like, what,
who has
what's
your
happening?
Children?
But yeah, I mean, even like the, from the oldest one till now, I mean, like, mm-hmm. it's yeah. crazy because you see everybody sees everybody grow up together. You know, you just, they're, everybody's around the theater, they're around community. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you bring your kids with you. I don't know, for us, it's like not even an option. It's, like, mm-hmm. if someone said our kids can't go somewhere, it's like, what?
I guess I'm not going.
Right, yeah. exactly. It's just, I don't even know that it's even ever been said.
Yeah.
Right.
They might cuss your kids out, but they're not, you know.
Yeah,
they're not cuss my kids out. Unless they're doing something wrong.
Something wrong.
Yeah,
right.
Hey,
get them.
So in the worlds that you're all in and we're both in, do you find that things are getting better with how things are being discussed with women in the workplace? Is there still a lot of improvement that needs to be? I mean, there's always improvement. We're never. I mean, I feel like in 2026, you can't even talk about anything progressive because we're in a different time planet right now. Mm-hmm. The Matrix is Charles. Matrix is Charles, and I like to call it.
Charles wants to bang his head against the wall right now.
No, I am enjoying this conversation. I was raised by nothing but women.
That's right, Charles.
Charles having a time.
Right. Yeah, there's always room for improvement. That's what I've learned throughout all the different nonprofit organizations. They always say that at your performance review.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's always room for improvement. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the case. I think that's the case in humanity anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always room for improvement. You got to reflect and then you have to, you know, start working on yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I think there's just such a strange divide right now with the whole tradwife movement. And then, so the trad wife, traditional wife.
Okay.
Yeah, like this is how it should be. And there's like this, there's like a big conservative movement that's like trying to keep women at home, not vote. Mm-hmm. Like this is like the only thing you should be doing. You shouldn't be working. And like the men like control the house and they also control the decisions for the house. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's a big reverse for a lot of women. And then it's the also like the push that women need to also have children, which is problematic because, I mean, I know, like, with Navi, we were talking about condoms last week at the Olympics.
But don't worry, girl,
like, get your life. That's, you don't need to have no kids out here. You can get your life and live it. But that's, like, the trad wife thing is kind of, like, pushing that narrative that, you know, you have to kind of follow these, like, 1950s expectations.
Which well, is crazy. And it doesn't help the narrative that you can't do both.
Right.
But, I mean, it's all a matter of perspective and it's all a matter of choice. Whenever you have the circumstances where somebody presents an idea, I think it's a matter of like, okay, well, if that works for you, that works for you.
Yes.
Don't push the idea and put me in a position to accept it for myself if that doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I respect if somebody wants to have a traditional way of moving and things, as long as they're not forced into it.
Yep.
I mean, go for it. I do believe, I do like the idea of being able to construct a lifestyle so that parents are present. I don't really take on the idea based off of my life and my perspective of being at home all the time, even though I love being at home.
Yeah.
You know, there's comfort. That's because we designed a space. Me and my husband designed a space for us to feel like at home. It's a sanctuary. But I don't think with my talents, gifts, and skills and education that it puts me in a position to stay at home. It's not. It's just not work. It just doesn't work for me.
The world needs to see you and hear you. No, and I agree because, you know, there's too many lines in the sand always being drawn. It's like you can be this or that. You can't be this and that. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure for women to work to keep that going, but then you can also want to stay at home and I don't bake, but if you know I like to cook, you know, I agree. That was
I just wanted to add one little thing. So yesterday we were actually having a panel discussion. It was called Masculinity Ain't Toxic, and we had a panelist of men, and we were just having this conversation as a single woman with no children in this
good for you
right girl in this dating pool, whatever you want to call that. We were just asking the question of just like, a lot of my friends were like, we want a real man, and it's like, what does that actually mean? But just like talking to what you were saying in terms of like traditional
And it's like, okay, well, if the man's out working 80 hours a week doing getting money, whatever, mm-hmm. and the woman's at home cooking and cleaning and doing whatever. But then the men on the panel were saying, well, we're not necessarily stepping up because we're not realizing, but being a man is hard. Yeah. And like some men are just like not cut out for that. And so this thing that we're wanting or this traditional lifestyle that we want, men are not stepping up to the plate because they're like, yo, I can't curse. This is hard.
Right, yeah.
And so it's like we're begging for this thing. And it's like, where are y'all? Like, what are you doing? And it's like the vulnerability and honesty of them saying, like, it's hard to show up. It's hard to be dependable. It's hard to take on that responsibility. It's hard to make that amount of money that would allow for you to be at home. Mm-hmm. And so it's like that balance of like, okay, then what do I do? Now I am working, or I am, you know, or wanting to be in my feminine, traditional, you know, energy, whatever you want to call it. But you can't do that if the men are not stepping up to the plate.
And so in reverse is interesting, too, because someone like a man that cooks and cleans is it can be seen feminine, but then as a career is super masculine. Like most chefs are like, you know, men. Like, you know, but if a woman does it, it's like, oh, she's just a domestic cook. Yeah. You know, like she's just a cook. Yeah. You know, like it's crazy, it's the double standard.
I think it's all about balance too.
It is.
Right. It's it is hard. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Because I'm not a man.
I'll never know.
So I don't know, but based off of the conversations that I hear from men in my life, it can be difficult because you're carrying a lot of weight. Not always is weight a bad thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a process. Mm-hmm. But it's also the same on a woman's side. It's difficult just being a human. Mm-hmm. Let's just start there.
Yeah.
It's just difficult. What's beautiful about like coming together as one and unifying, if you're talking about like a family or marriage and things like that, is that you can balance things. So if a guy or if the man in the relationship is good at cooking, dope, then you're going to be cooking.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But maybe the woman is more so organized. And I think I speak off of my experiences, me and my husband, Josh, we get in where we fit in. Mm-hmm. That's love. The love within that relationship, that marriage, is about, it's about filling the gap. That, you know, maybe there's a gap of something that I might need really bad, but he may not have the capacity. I'm gonna love him in that space and that balance. And the same thing for him. Mm-hmm. If it's something that I don't naturally give that he would need, he has to love me within that gap, in that space. And so I think it is a partnership. You two are working together as one for the benefit of growing your family and growing, you know, whatever else it is.
I'm still trying to figure out what I bring to my relationship sometimes because I was like, he cooks. He's way better at numbers. I'm not a numbers person. So he's like handling the finances. I'm like, yeah, cool.
You got this.
I'm such a stereotype. But, you know, talking about this and, you know, in all aspects in theater, in music, but in sports, it was just only the last couple of years where women were able to address the needs of parents at, you know, the Olympic Village and having access to breastfeeding areas or access to what they needed. And I know, Navi, especially with your business, you know, there's all this talk this year about the condoms at the Olympics.
Yes. Yes.
So what is the...
At the Olympics.
Listen, they be getting busy. They got a lot of time when they're not on the court or on the ice or whatever. Yeah.
So what do you think are the needs of women athletes that are need to be addressed that maybe aren't being or... And, I mean, how has pop culture helped that at all? Because,
to be honest, I mean, just speaking of like yesterday, like I was at a coaches meeting yesterday, and so I also coach a City Honors softball team, and so on a high school level, we've been fighting for years. Like I graduated in 2012, and I'm blessed to have a coach who is like pushing everything forward. Mm-hmm. Like any progression that has happened in women's sports is probably she was part of it. Not even probably, she 100% was part of it. And it can be as simple as like not having porta potties at a softball field.
Yeah.
Yes,
like girls are on their period in the middle of a game.
Say, or free feminine products.
Right.
Or
any, yes. And it's like we're in the middle of McCarthy Park playing softball and girls can't use the bathroom. Yeah. But like, yeah. no one is, they're like, oh, we're working on it. And I'm like, again, I graduated in 2012, it's 2026, and we still do not have dedicated, okay, a softball season, we need to have porta potties here. And that's just a basic. And yeah. then from there, it's like field conditions. Baseball diamonds are turf. They're taken care of on a daily basis. I can't tell you one softball field in Buffalo that's like well-maintained. So like women's sports is just like low on the totem pole. Mm. And it's just like, oh, okay, girls are playing cool.
Yeah. But they're investing the same amount of money that the men are investing. Listen. Like it's not, you know what I mean? It's not like club sports are cheaper.
Listen. But but it's literally, it's like, oh, that's women's sport. We'll give them the bare minimum equipment. We'll give them bare minimum balls. We'll give them bare minimum everything. And it's just like, oh, like they show up. That's it. And like the standard also is not there. Like, I mean, luckily I'm able to be part of a team that we do have high standards. Mm-hmm. But like a lot of the teams in the league, it's just kind of like, oh, just show up. We practice once. So it's like also as a coach's, it should be a coach's responsibility to be able to push forward that this is important. You are part of something, mm-hmm. and I want to hold you to a high standard in this sport, especially if you want to go beyond a high school or college level, which now there is a possibility to go beyond, especially in softball.
Yeah.
You have professional opportunities now, so it's like, why are we not investing in our athletes now to actually, when I was playing, there wasn't anything past college. Mm. So I was like, you know, like, this is cool, but like, now you can be getting paid. That pitcher is making $1 million in college right now. So it's like, there's opportunity now, and we're still not investing in our women athletes the way that we should be.
Well, I don't think the dialogue around, you know, especially in the current situation we're in, I always refer to it differently, you know, especially with the women's hockey team.
That that was absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like your gold is no different than my gold because like, you're a man.
And they've won more.
Mm-hmm. And they're good. And
right.
They're
but you can't get an invitation. Not that I want Cash Patel partying with anybody anyway. But you know, but still, like the notion that like you only cared about this one thing that seems like quintessential American, like the sport of male white hockey players.
Yeah.
And y'all don't care anything about the women that worked their butts off and got their gold before the men did.
Right.
And work their butts off, and it's like, okay, well, whatever. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I guess we can invite. Like, you got to wait till, like, Jimmy Kimmel does it, you know, on his own, or people have to do it on their own to give them recognition before the administration or the White House can do it. Mm-hmm. Like, hockey is no joke, male or female. Like, those skills are crazy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And for you to just downplay them because they're women as if they don't play the same sports with the same rules is crazy to me.
Well, and, you know, like you mentioned Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, pop culture sometimes is now how things are getting exposed in a lot of ways because it's just everything so brushed under the rug. And in the creative arts, too, I know there's a lot of advocacy and exposure to situations. So I definitely want to dive into that more and how, you know, how arts and pop culture can help with these conversations and make people listen. Because like you said, it took Jimmy Kimmel putting that on his show for people to be what?
With their gold medals, thugging it out, like social media. Like, I feel like the world had to amplify the women's team for what they did. And I did, I forget what chef it was, but they had like this really prominent chef that like made them like this 5-star meal.
Yeah.
And like the hockey players were eating McDonald's at the White House. And I was like, that's it. I was like, that's it. That's how we do it.
Right. Yep.
Give them escargot and then have them other ones eat french fries. Go ahead.
Yeah. We're not going to get to talk about our Wendy's McDonald's. We should probably talk about the Wendy's
McDonald's.
We should
talk about Wendy's McDonald's. The fact that they're all white men, too, but that's a whole nother conversation.
I mean, women don't eat fast food, right? I mean,
oh, my God.
Because that was wild.
We're getting Wendy's right after this, probably. So, and, you know, women in music, women in fashion, we're going to cover a lot more of that coming up and also talk about the things that you're all involved in so that we can elevate these things. And like you were talking about, you're the city honors coach. Like, that's a huge deal, you know? Yeah. And maybe some events and things that are going on in the area. Mm-hmm. And so we can talk about that coming up. And anything... If Nyla wants to talk about the Wendy's McDonald's situation.
Oh, yeah, because I swear it's got to be a black woman that does their social media. The Wendy's clapbacks. Have y'all seen the Wendy's clapbacks?
The Wendy's clapbacks are good.
It's got to be. Or maybe it's like a 20-year-old, like Gen Z or something.
Just having
know.
A good time.
I've been noticing that a lot, too. These clapbacks from different, like, companies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun.
It's fun. And I think it also comes from, like, because... really black women, like that's what we do. Like, you know, like you can pop off all you want, but I don't know who you think you're talking to. And
that's
like, it's that energy that I think has actually, you know, in terms of culture, bringing a lot of this at the forefront in terms of trolling.
Yeah. So.
Love to get into some trolling. Right. Don't go anywhere. Our conversation continues next on Group Chat.
Public media keeps our community talking and thinking together. Hear perspectives that matter on BTPM NPR. Experience meaningful stories on BTPM PBS. Enjoy performances that connect us on BTPM Classical and discover new voices on BTPM The Bridge. These are conversations that shape our region and open our world. This is public media. Visit btpm.org.
Why do so many people turn to Buffalo Toronto Public Media? It's because we bring you more than just TV and radio. We deliver trusted news, inspiring performances, and programs for the whole family. From Nova and Frontline to BTPM NPR's local news and music sessions from BTPM Classical and BTPM The Bridge. Public media connects you to the stories, music, and moments that matter. Explore more at btpm.org. This is Public Media.
At Buffalo Toronto Public Media, we're committed to serving our entire community. Whether you're listening to investigative journalism on BTPM NPR, enjoying world-class performances on BTPM Classical, discovering new local artists on BTPM The Bridge, or immersing yourself in mysteries on BTPM PBS, public media has something for everyone. Explore programs that matter to you at btpm.org. This is Public Media.
Welcome back to Group Chat. I'm Bentley, here with Nayla Ansari-Catillo, my co-host, and so honored to be joined by two powerful women. I don't want to just say in Western New York and Buffalo, like, you know, worldwide. I'm going to say it right now. Navi Hawkins, who is a community educator, also a coach for the UB Club Softball, also... City Honors, which
we found that out as we were talking. We were like, wait, what?
Yeah. Artist, mentor, co-founder of Girl Gang. And I want to talk about Girl Gang and Itina Fareed Cook. You may know her also as AI the Anomaly. The creative arts strategist is many roles in her life. Founder of Get Focus Productions and poet laureate of Buffalo. So we were talking about in the last block a little bit about athletes and motherhood and also maybe preventing motherhood and the norms. That sounded really bad.
Prevent.
Not for Navi.
I mean, in this economy. Motherhood,
but like, so that's you don't want not Navi, girl.
I'm minding my business.
Navi, can you talk a little bit about Girl Gang?
Of course. I would love to. Without getting too long-winded. So originally we co-founded with my best friend, Raina Moncrief, in 2017. We originally started as event planners. So we were, like, planning birthday parties and, like, all the stuff that we didn't really care about. And we realized, okay, this is not fulfilling. And then we actually were on a community action board for Hope Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And they were looking for a group of teens to build an intervention to reduce STI rates and increase STI testing in Buffalo, New York, in the Black community. And so we put together this intervention. It was called Pop and Play. Long story short, they then booked Girl Gang to be the sustainability plan for that. So now we are the host of Pop and Play now. So now all of our work has to do with sexual health education. So we go into high schools. Mostly right now we work with groups of women, or high school girls, I should say. And our focus, we always tell every school we go into that we are not a pregnancy prevention program. We're not. That is not what we do at all. Like, we come in, we are focused on how to protect your pleasure. Mm-hmm. And so what that means is whatever you got going on or whenever you decide to have sex or not have sex, these are the things that you can do to protect yourself and the people around you. Mm-hmm. I'm not coming in here to say don't have sex, because obviously kids are having sex. We're talking to pregnant students. Like, right. You have pregnant kids in your school, but then you think it's taboo for us to come in and say, that's not what we're teaching. So these are the things that we're educating. So that's one pocket of what we do. And then Pop and Play is a little older crowd. And for that, we actually invite community members to be on a panel because we feel like it's easier for us to understand something from somebody telling their personal experience. Mm-hmm. So like you can read a book all day about consent, but if I invite Itina to come in, she can tell a story about how consent has impacted her life. That might hit you a little bit harder, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So that's what we do. We want to bring people to create a space. We say safe space, but you can't just title something safe without being intentional about it. Yeah. So it's a healthy and safe space for people to be vulnerable so that everybody can be educated on different topics.
Yeah. So, that was a great summary.
I was going to say that's important because a lot of times with women and pleasure, it's like we're like shamed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like it's almost like you want to just think you got pregnant because it's like immaculate.
Right.
Conception like that happened. And so I think that's important that you understand that like women deserve to have pleasure.
Yep.
Safely.
Right.
Well, it's interesting too, you brought up about like if a girl gets pregnant, like on the man's side, it's like a badge of honor.
If it's like a daughter or something,
yeah.
It's like,
you did it. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, even when you're grown, it could be like an uncomfortable conversation with like a dad or an uncle or something. Like, it's just like that taboo conversation. But for men, pleasure is just given to them.
You mentioned safe spaces and Itina, I know that people interpret music in the ways that they interpret it themselves, but I feel like your music can be a safe space for people, even though you're talking about heart issues in your poetry as well. So what is your inspiration and also, dealing with some of the things that we've been talking about? Being an artist, a woman artist in the music business is not easy. You've done very well. Hey. So what are some of the inspirations behind your craft?
Yeah, I will actually start off by saying, like, I'm a storyteller and music is a tool. I'm a strategist. And so the strategies used is towards expanding perspectives, igniting thought. And so I do that through music. I do that through poetry or literary arts, but I also do it through film and photography through the company of Get Focused Productions. And so if we're talking about like industry-wise and kind of, are you saying like
what are some of the things that are obstacles that you feel?
Yeah, as far as obstacles, you know what? Honestly, for me, my main obstacle sometimes is self.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. My answers here are, you know, I understand, yes, I'm a woman. Yes, I'm coated in melanin. I come from different spaces, but I think through my life, I've just reflected the fact that I need to work on me. I need to make sure that I'm the best version of myself every day. And so with that thought, and this is a lot of times when I'm talking to like younger generation, even with creative specifically, because there's this introvertism, if you will, or this nervousness of being all the way creative in who you are. And a lot of times it comes from the outside view. And so if we're talking about like the obstacles in being a woman, to me, I don't look at it as obstacles. I'm who I am. And everybody's just going to have to figure out how to move in the spaces that I'm going to show up who I am. So if that makes you uncomfortable or if that makes you feel as though you want to try to discredit me or whatever the case is, I'm going to hold my own. I come from the East Side. I know how to hold my own. I know how to stand up and be firm, but also be tactful. But I don't carry that as a burden, you know. However anybody wants to perceive a woman or a black woman, African-American, woman from indigenous culture background, whatever the case is, that's on you. That's on you. That's your perspective. But I'm going to show up however I need to show up to show myself authentic. Now, at the same time, there are issues. There's issues when it comes to the industry that I come from as far as film and cinematography and journalism and things like that. Oftentimes, when I'm in a space, on a contract and a production and we come in with our team of collaborators, a lot of times the people that are in the space, they're looking for the person in charge and they're going to the males that are coming from our team. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, are you the person? And they're like, no, she's the person. Mm-hmm. And my little short self, I'm tiny and tough.
Yeah.
And they come to me and it's like, yeah, yeah, I am the person in charge of this particular space or of this, you know, directing this film or directing this, you know, program or whatever it is, directing on music or whatever the case is. It's like, yeah, show me some respect. This is the position that I play. Mm-hmm. You know, don't be alarmed.
Right.
You know, I can handle this. And usually they'll find the way to respect it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the conversations around this in trying to inspire people and work through things are difficult because you don't want to say, okay, well, there's your, for example, I run The Bridge and it's a music station. I'm not filling quotas. I'm playing good music. I'm playing music because it's good. Does it happen to be a lot of female artists? Yes. You know?
Hey, they make good music.
Because it's good.
Yeah.
And like, we're always, it's hard because you want to recognize the struggles, but you also want to say, like, we're watching women's sports because it's good. Mm-hmm. Like, when I started watching, I'm a big college basketball fan. When I started watching women's college basketball, I'm like, okay, this is more strategy than pro. Or like WNBA.
Precise to watch.
WNBA versus NBA. Like, I enjoy it more because it's more strategic. It's not as showboaty.
Right.
You know, and so I think it's hard because you have to have those conversations around this is just good. Like, female filmmakers are making good movies.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think we don't, like, have to qualify ourselves. Like, I feel like everybody's always have to qualify. It's like, oh, it's a woman, but it's like a woman's. You know, like Ava DuVernay, like, you know,
that's cute.
It's cute. It's like, oh, yeah, that a like, woman did that, by the way.
Yeah,
like,
but okay. You all know about Autumn Durald, the woman who did the direct cinematography for Sinners.
Yeah.
Carrying around that heavy IMAX camera.
Is no
She's
joke.
She's the first woman who was able to, you know, first African-American woman. That's another thing. It's always like that title. Who won within that cinematography space. But man, I have so much respect for her. The film itself is beautiful, but understanding the technique that you have to have with an IMAX camera, like if you could understand, the same as like when you see individuals within the sports space and you watch them play, you're like, man, you just don't know that that's technique.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and to watch that film, you know, and the techniques that she used and the space that she was able to have to even be herself in bringing it to life or bringing Coogler's. I can't remember his first
name. Ryan
Coogler. just being able to have that space, it takes people to say, you know what, I'm going to move to the side and I'm going to let you just go because you're capable. You have the skills, you have the know-how to make something happen. Like, to me, that's amazing. There's so many other women that are on the back end. Regina King, you know, she's been around for a long time. You're talking like Poetic Justice, you're talking The Harder They Fall, 7 Seconds, and she's been involved in writing, directing, acting as well. And it's just like these women, I know a lot of times we focus on the entertainment, you know, but even in writing or literature and things like that, just women are dominating, you know, in many cases, just showing up, being authentically who they are, you know, and it's like, yo, you don't have to like stop comparing it. Like, we can hold the same space as any other person, you know, in the game, you know, when it comes to music, I could wrap circles around a lot of guys. As a matter of fact, back when it used to be called Elmwood Lounge, now it's called Milky's. We used to have rap battles. I was too young to be in there. But I would wrap circles around those men, you know, in freestyle battles and things like that. And it's like, yeah, you know, I can carry, we can carry weight. We can, we can make this thing happen. We can be the best in any kind of space and in any genre.
Can you bring that back, please? You know, Navi, you're not just involved in sports. You've got some other things.
That's
that
some of the things going March on. March 29th. Like, tell me you got March adding going stuff on in. March 29th.
I do. I have a All Styles dance battle on March 29th. That's it's going to be fire. I don't know how much promo I can do right now.
Oh, you can. Where is it?
It's going to be at Ujima Theater Company, which I'm a choreographer for them right now. It's going to be dope. It's going to be a DJ and a live band, so adding another element to the idea of battle dance. So it's going to be fire.
Nyla, being with your dance background, this is a pretty big deal.
Oh, yeah, she's battling. Y'all didn't know Nyla is battling on the 29th.
Uh-oh.
What? Yeah, Navi versus Nyla.
Charles Pace. Let's go.
I might have to pop in.
Yeah, that's a whole other episode.
I must say,
Navi comes from a whole lineage of like amazing dance artists, choreographers. So,
And Itina, do you have anything coming up that you're doing so many things? you would like to talk about? Yeah,
absolutely. I'd say first and foremost, the work that I'm doing within like Creative Arts Strategist, I am currently with Villa Maria College as a consultant, creative consultant, and just working to bridge the gap between community and, you know, community and the students. Like we're really firm on helping early career creatives, you know, and just helping them have that business acumen. So we put together different panels, live panels, people within the industry coming together to talk to the students. We have a panel discussion every month, and it's student-led. It's based off a curriculum that I built with another professor in the DMC department, Jessica Stoddard, and just really helping students understand that, you know, it takes a lot of process planning and project management when it comes to the film industry, cinematography, but even if you're a dancer. Like I dabbed a little bit in that too, from ballet to pop lock to all types of stuff. But just really trying to help those students, because Villa is a really creative space.
Yeah.
But as far as my creativity, and particularly in music, I'll be performing at South by Southwest. This will be my third year going, and what I love the most is that I'm going to bring some of the collaborators to Austin
as well.
So I'm excited about that. We'll do a show, and then I'm going to visit prison. I'm going to visit school to share the same, you know, digital storytelling and literary arts everywhere I go, you know. And so I'm excited about that. And there's many more things happening, but you know, for the most part, those are the things I'm excited about it.
Yeah, we'll have to have you back to talk about South by Southwest.
Oh yeah, you just follow along. We're gonna make sure we kind of do a blog to show Buffalo what it's all about.
Yeah, Charles, you can tell you were raised by women.
He knew not to say nothing after the first part.
He said, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to just let y'all go.
I just sat here and just listened.
That's right, Charles.
As you should.
I don't want to even end this conversation right now, but I know we got to wrap up, right?
Yes, we have to wrap up. But make sure that you like, comment, and subscribe. Bailey, you already know what to do right here. Right here. You already know what to do.
And we promise you will get more Charles next episode.
Yes, because he is He is the lion of group chat.
And we'll be diving into Sinners. I'm really excited about that. Yeah. So that, you know.
What? The move?
It's Oscars next week.
We're going to have the person that taught the choreography and a lot of the Irish music to the cast is going to be one of our guests. We had a tie-in to this, to the other person because of SJ Velasquez that is in charge of our newsroom here. She had it in. It's always who you know, right? Yeah. Like, I'm not going to claim credit for that one. So join us again next week on Group Chat. I'd like to thank my guests, Navi Hawkins and Itina Fareed-Cook. And she's not a guest anymore. She's just part of the show. Nyla, I'm sorry, Cotillo.
My girl, Bentley and Charles.
Listen, we get coffee and donuts and stuff in the morning before. That's great. Charles, thanks for being Charles.
Of course.
And join us again next week on Group Chat.